The Fall of the Republic, 121 BC to 59 BC. The Great Mithridatic War, Part 3. Victory and Failure. Now, the Battle of Tigranocerta, 69 BC, was a major battle. This is when King Tigranes II arrived back as the Romans were besieging his new capital. He came with an enormous army. When he saw the commander, Lucullus's small Roman army, he remarked, quote, "Too few for an army, too many for an embassy," end of quote. Well, that's a nice little quote, but it doesn't go well. Tigranes II did not heed Mithridates' advice against attacking the Romans and saw no reason for not attacking immediately. Tigranes unleashed his enormous body of mail-clad cavalry, which of course was his heavily chaparral cavalry, which we know the weakness is that if you can stop them, then they become disorganized and kind of panic. Well, that's what Lucullus did. Lucullus not only stopped them in a few minutes, but then drove the retreating cavalry into the center of Tigranes' infantry, which then broke and fled without striking a single blow. The rest was a Roman slaughter. Tigranes did escape, but his capital city fell, and with it, vast stores of grain and, of course, gold. Rarely in Roman military annals were tactics more brilliantly conceived and executed, nor the destruction of an enemy so complete. Elated by his brilliant victory, Lucullus set out on a long, painful march against Tigranes' second capital, Artaxata. He never reached the city. It was a hard march through the mountains, and that year, in the early fall, there was heavy snow, and Lucullus was known for having an absolute iron discipline over his troops. And believe it or not, that's his failure. All combined to at last break the morale and the endurance of his officers and men. The Roman army was almost within striking distance of Artaxata when the troops stopped and refused to go on. Lucullus was then forced to retreat in the Mesopotamia, where his army winter quartered. Here at the city of Nisibis, Lucullus won his last victory, which was again a brilliant siege and capture of the city, and once again, all of its loot. Well, even while Lucullus was failing back in Mesopotamia, and if you call failing just unable to continue chasing Tigranes, Mithridates was gathering a force of 8,000 men. He now returned to Pontus as an avenger and a liberator, and easily destroyed the small Roman garrisons that were stationed there. In the spring of 67 BC, Mithridates defeated the Roman legate Valerius Tararus, killing 7,000 Romans. At the same time, the weak and feeble Tigranes II managed to reoccupy Armenia and then invaded Cappadocia. Lucullus could do nothing because his men simply refused to fight. He appealed to Rome for more men and received nothing. He appealed to Rome, he appealed to the new governor of Cilicia and Asia, and they also refused to give him troops. The disastrous effect of the mutiny nullified 8 glorious years of victory. The humiliation of Lucullus was an unbelievable ending to his almost miraculous military achievements. He had transformed demoralized troops into a hard-hitting machine. He had destroyed enormous armies with minuscule losses. He had permanently shattered the military power of 2 of the proudest kings in the East, all without taking a single denarii from the Roman treasury. So why does he ultimately fail? His failure resulted in part from his relationship with his own men. First of all, he'd driven them to their limit. Second, he never once relaxed his discipline. And third, He scorned to imitate Sulla, who rewarded his men by allowing them to loot captured cities. So there was no real reward. The men weren't really interested in fighting for Rome. They would like to have something for themselves. And he's, to some extent, the opposite of Caesar. Now, Caesar had well-disciplined troops, and he certainly drove his men to the limit as well. But he certainly had his pulse on the Roman legionnaire, and they loved him. And in Lucullus's case, they didn't love him. Lucullus was also preoccupied with vast schemes of conquest, and he just didn't have time for the common soldier. But if you don't have time for the common soldier, they do all the fighting. You just don't ride out there all by yourself and win. Well, Lucullus was an unbending aristocrat who lacked the earthy humor of Marius and the magnetism of Julius Caesar. Yet the soldiers of Lucullus might still have brought the war to a glorious conclusion had not the middle-class investment bankers, these are the men that Lucullus had infuriated when he checked their swindles and extortions in the province of Asia. The bankers sent agents to incite mutiny in his army. Payback. Lucullus thus was cheated of victory by the cruel spite of the moneylenders, betrayed by a weak and cowardly oligarchy. But he was given a triumph in 63 BC that he richly deserved after he was relieved of command, and eventually Pompey is appointed in his place. Lucullus found consolation in his wine cellar, his fish ponds, and his cherry trees, all on his estates. So he did get his triumph. He's an incredibly successful man. We just don't hear much about him. Now, the sources for this: History of the Romans by Heckelheim and Yao, Chronicle of the Roman Republic by Matusak, The History of the Romans by Born, and the biography of Pompey, which has quite a bit on Lucullus as well. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs. If you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.